this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I'm excited for what God's doing in our midst, and I want to ask us if we could just take a couple of moments to take hands maybe with the people standing, sitting next to you. And we've got a team of 19 people right now in Durban and Mhlanga, in sort of that area, and they've been ministering over the weekend already. Yes, they drove down on Friday afternoon, or Friday morning, and arrived Friday afternoon, and then on Friday evening they had a time with the local church and just been fellowshipping with them. And then about 10 o'clock then they phoned me and the outreach was about to start. And 10 o'clock in the evening they went out and they went and spent some time in the pubs and the clubs around Mhlanga, where so many of our young people right now after finishing exams are. And just fantastic time of ministry right there where the darkness is so rife. And then on Saturday morning they joined with a Shofar Durban congregation and they helped with a women's morning. And I haven't had a chance to speak to Donne in detail about it yet, but it sounded like it went really well from the SMSs that I've received, and the ladies' lives were really touched, and the guys helped just make the whole event special. And then last night, they hit the clubs again on Saturday night. This morning, they helped out at church. And then for the rest of the week, throughout the week, they're going to be going just to where young people are hungry and looking for life and looking for answers. And our prayer is that as we just there where they are, we can connect to them, we can pray with them, we can speak to them and just impart life in the midst of all the darkness. So I want to ask if we could turn to one another in groups of two or three and take hands with one another. And let's take a couple of moments and pray for the team, pray for the work they're doing, pray for every person that God has on his heart to reach in this week as they're there. Not spoiling fun and not spoiling joy, but bringing joy in Jesus Christ, bringing hope and bringing truth. So if we could do that for a couple of moments, that would be fantastic. So Father, right now as we pray, Lord, we thank you for your hand upon the team, God. We thank you for their safe travel and the ministry they've already had, Lord God. We thank you for the lives that have already been touched and changed, Lord God. And Father, we thank you that as a family, we can be part of a family committed to going, Lord God. Committed to seeing souls saved, Lord, and committed to seeing light come upon the darkness, Lord, and the darkness will not and cannot comprehend it. So, Father, right now, Lord, we just pray for Darné and the team, Lord God. We pray, God, your incredible favor and blessing upon them, Lord God. We ask, God, that every time they step out to minister, Lord, that they would encounter divine appointments, Lord. People whose hearts you have prepared, Lord God. People who are ready to receive, people who are hungry and seeking for truth, Lord. And as a team member speaks to them, Lord, that they would hear and understand truth, Lord. That the eyes of the Spirit would be enlightened, that they may see the truth of Jesus. And God, we pray, God, that there would be many salvations in this time, God. Lord, not only prayers prayed and people making a decision to follow you as such, God, but lives transformed by a meeting with Jesus, Lord God. Lord, that they would wake up the next morning, God, with so much of the hunger and the void inside of them filled by Jesus himself, Lord. That, Lord, you would come and touch and speak to those young people, God. And Father, we pray for the gifts of the Spirit to flow through the team, Lord. That you would give them words of knowledge, Lord, and words of wisdom, Lord. You would give them words of prophecy, Lord. The gifts of healings, Lord, and speaking and interpretation of tongues, Lord God. Lord, that they would step out with an abundance of faith, Lord, and ability to hear your voice and step out in obedience to that, Lord. And God, every morning and afternoon, Lord, as they're scheduled to have lunch and to spend time with the people they spoke to the evening before, Lord, we pray, God, that many would come those days, Lord God, and talk to them, Lord. That there would be incredible times of teaching and impartation, Lord, and heart-to-heart connection with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So amazing when we look at Annabelle and other little kids around here that throughout their life, they're going to be entitled to a whole bunch of things simply because of their relationship to their parents. You know, that Annabelle and Esther and Christu and Michaela and Simeon, that God's placed something special upon a household like that, a household that fears God. And for every one of those children in that house, they've got certain privileges that get extended to them, certain rights that they're entitled to, simply because they are the children of their parents. There are things that you and I maybe won't experience that they will have. Maybe access to a holiday home. Maybe access to certain type of knowledge and experiences, a certain expression of God's love. They're going to be entitled to a whole bunch of things as they go through life, as their mother and father decide to convey it upon them, and they don't deserve it, they haven't earned it. It's simply something we call a birthright. It's something that is their right because they were born. And that's something that I love about God, that He looks upon our lives and He says, you don't choose to get born, you don't choose any of that, but because you're born, I'm going to give you certain rights. And as we go through life, every one of us, as we go back to our families, we've got certain birthrights. Certain things that come to us, that get given to us, that we are entitled to simply because of the fact that we are our parents' children. One of the incredible blessings about coming from a home, walking in the ways of God, is there's a spiritual blessing that comes along. A home that seeks God as we grow up with the birthright of the knowledge of Christ almost. But as we go back and you think about your mom and your dad and your family, there's a birthright and title. There are certain things, and it's not only the physical, it's not only that what gets written in the will that's a birthright. There are things that are yours and mine by birth. We get born into them. And obviously in the extreme cases, somebody like Prince William, he gets born with a significant birthright. He gets born with a right to be King of England, not because he earned it, not because he deserved it, but he gets born with this expectation upon him that one day this boy will be King of England. And then obviously it's his parents' responsibility to be involved in his life and to raise him up and to say, we can't just raise this kid as any other kid. We can't raise him just as the kid down the street is going to get raised. We need to raise this kid with an expectation upon our hearts and our lives of what God is going to do in his life, that he needs to be the King of England. We need to raise him as a future king. We can't raise him just as a scorbayuck. It's amazing to me if you look at William and Harry, for those of you who follow the royal family a little bit. It's amazing just the difference in responsibility they carry on their shoulders. You see pictures of Harry naked, fooling around all over the United States. But there are no pictures like that of William, because William has this thing inside of him that I need to lead a nation. And from a young age, he's grown up with an expectation because there's a birthright. He didn't earn it. He got born into that. Not only did he get born into the privilege, he got born into the responsibility. And as we come before God, it's great for me always to remember. I love John chapter 1. I'd encourage you to go and read it and read it and read it and read it. Because not only do every one of us have a birthright from our parents, John 1 says, as many as received him. If you're here today and you've received Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And every one of us, as we sit here, it's so encouraging for me to know that I wasn't born because my mom and dad decided to have a kid. Little Annabelle wasn't born because her parents decided to have a kid. We were born because God breathed supernatural life into our mother's wombs. God did something there which no scientist still can explain as to what causes those two cells to bring forth a whole new life with its own personal identity and character and makeup and persona. There's something unique that God breathes into that womb when that little baby gets conceived. It's not an act of man, it's an act of God. And we don't get born out of the will of man, we get born out of the will of God. Some people who struggle for years and years and years and years to get pregnant, and it's not because they're not doing their actions. It's just something that's amiss about the hand of God upon bringing conception. It's what I love about the promise. One of the promises God gives to the people of Israel, many times he says, there will be none barren. What does that mean? It means that when husband and wife come together in blessing, I will bring forth life. It's in my hands to bring forth life or to withhold life. And I will make it my covenant that I will bring forth life where that promise holds. And you and I are sitting here, and every one of us, we've got a specific birthright. We've got birthrights from our natural parents, but we've got birthright as children of the kingdom of the King, children of God, children of the Most High. And there's a beautiful story in Genesis chapter 25. Most of us know it really well. Just rewind a little bit. There was a guy called Abraham. Anyone heard of him? We sing a song here, Father Abraham had many sons. You know? But he didn't have many sons. He had two sons that he knew. And at the age of 100, his son Isaac got born. And this son Isaac grew up to become a man. I think many of us have read the story, but it was only recently that I clicked that Abraham looked at his son at one stage and he said, listen, my son needs a wife. And as I was reading that story recently, I realized it probably played out a little bit differently. Abraham looked at his son and said, my son needs help. Because at that stage, Isaac was 40. And in my mind, I'd always thought he was a young man. But he wasn't. He was 40 years old. And his dad called a servant and said, listen, this Isaac guy needs some help. So he's not going to help himself here. So don't you want to go and fetch a wife for him? And Abraham's servant went and found Rebecca. And the whole story with the camels, that beautiful story at the well. And brought Rebecca back to Isaac and they got married. And for 20 years they were barren. And Isaac prayed and he said, God, I really want a child. God breathed life into Rebecca's womb and she conceived twins. And as the twins were born, the first one came out and he was really hairy. So they looked at him and they said, we'll call him Hairy, which is what the word Esau means. So there was this hairy kid. And then there was another kid, part of the twins, and as the first one came out, the second one came out and his hand was on the heel of his older brother, his couple of minutes older, seconds older brother, but he was holding on to his brother. In a sense, later on we see in his life, almost trying to pull him back into the womb so he could come out first. So they called him supplanter, cheat. One who takes that which is not his, who wants to take authority where he's not meant to, want him to step into a position that is not his. That's what the word Jacob means. And here we've got these two boys, Esau and Jacob, the hairy one and the naughty one, if you will, there. The supplanting one, the one who goes beyond where he's meant to be. And these two grow up, and that's where we pick up the story in Genesis 25. Actually, I threw some verses away here for some reason. But before this, it says that Esau was a man of the field. He was a good hunter. And Isaac loved him because of the great stew that he made. You know, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Cook well. Esau cooked well and his dad loved him for it. But Jacob was more of a mild man. Jacob liked being in the house. Esau liked being in the fields. And Rebekah loved Jacob. And then, in Genesis 25, Jacob cooked a stew. And Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom Edom means red. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. Esau said, look, I'm about to die. A little bit of an exaggeration. What is this birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And I wonder how many of us today, as we look upon our birthright in the natural, and our birthright in, as Christians, maybe we don't necessarily despise our birthright, but we don't value our birthright. We don't look upon our birthright and say, listen, there's nothing in this world that could possibly cause me to walk away from this. As a matter of fact, this is the single most precious thing I have in my life is a birthright. The rights that come my way because of my birth, I haven't earned it. It's something that's been bestowed upon me. Can you imagine if Prince William and Prince Harry one day were little kids fooling around? Prince William comes and he sees Prince Harry sitting there with his Big Mac. And Prince William says, listen, I'm really hungry. I'm hungry, I'm about to die. Give me your Big Mac. And Prince Harry says, sell me your birthright. Prince William says, sure, you can have my birthright. What is it to me anyway? Just give me the Big Mac. Just give me this temporary little bit of satisfaction. I don't care. What does my birthright mean to me anyway? And suddenly there's a shift that happens. And no longer is Prince William the next king of England. Prince Harry becomes the next king of England after his dad. Something powerful but so profane, Scripture calls it. That would never happen because from a young age, William understands this thing upon my shoulders is not only valuable, it's precious. There's a big difference between valuable and precious, and often we get them confused. Valuable means I can sell it for a lot and get a lot of money for it. Precious, I haven't had this opportunity yet, but I'll get there one day. Precious is when your child draws a little painting, a little picture, come back from school and writes a little card that says, Daddy, I love you. And you take that little card and it's something that has got so much value to me, but not to anybody else. It's precious to my heart. I can't take a thing and sell it unless my daughter grows up to become Picassoette or something. But, you know, Picassoette's first painting. It's not valuable, but it's precious. And our birthright is something that God's bestowed upon us that's precious. Something that Scripture says here is Esau despised it. Esau looked upon this and it meant nothing to him, so much so that he sold it for a bit of stew, for a Big Mac. And I believe God's wanting to stir something in our hearts about this. We read what the author of the Hebrews has to say about this in Hebrews 12. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. There's something that God wants us to understand about the preciousness of the birthright he bestows upon us. Something about the way in which we approach our birthright, the way in which we relate to it, the way in which I believe God says he's wanting us to embrace it a little bit and bring it close and say, this is mine. And you might be able to take everything from me, but this is one thing you cannot. This is the last thing I will ever do away with in my life, is the birthright that God has bestowed upon me. It's amazing if you read this, God speaks, says, lest there be any fornicator. We understand kind of that's not precious in God's eyes. Fornicator or profane person like Esau. God looks at what Esau did there and he Everything inside of him is disgusted. But you're missing something. There's something that you're not understanding when we don't understand the preciousness of that birthright. And then the question comes up and says, for every one of our homes, for every one of our families, our birthright is different. Got some friends, their dads are big business magnates. Captains and kings of business. You know those children's birthrights? They're going to walk into a senior position in that company. It's theirs by birth. Their dad built the company. It's their dad's business. And they're going to grow up. That's their birthright. That's what they've been destined for from birth. For every one of our lives and every one of our families, that looks different. We've got different birthrights. I don't know too many Prince Harry's sitting here or Prince William sitting here. Destined to become King of England and royalty. But there's something even more precious than that. That's the birthright that God bestows upon us. That's the birthright that God says, because you're born of God, there's something special that I have in store for you. And I want us to look a little bit at what is that birthright that we have as believers? What is it that we are entitled to? It's a right that comes to us because of birth. It's interesting that the Bible doesn't talk about many rights. And just between you and me, a whole bunch of the stuff today that we call human rights, the Bible calls wrongs. But there are a couple of rights that Scripture talks about. It says we've got a right to be called the children of God. And because we have the right to be called children of God, we have a birthright. We have a right, the privilege of being a child of God. What is our birthright? Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. It's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Our first birthright that I want us to look at this afternoon, and there are lots of them, you can go all through Scripture, there, incredible things that God gives to us as His children. But the first birthright that we see that sort of starts in Genesis chapter 18 and carries all the way through is to be inheritors of the promise of Abraham. To be inheritors of the blessing of Abraham. I want to encourage you, if you missed it a couple of months ago in August, beginning of August, Peter Pretorius was here. And he spoke powerfully about this blessing of Abraham. I'm not going to go into all the detail about it tonight. Pastor Peter did that brilliantly for us. But I just want us to look at what is that promise of Abraham that you and I are meant to be inheritors of. Genesis 22, it says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. Your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemies. And here's the promise. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And one of the big lies that the enemy comes and wants to steal from us, Scripture says that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He destroys on so many facets. And one of the ways in which he comes to kill and to destroy us in this area of our inheritance. I wonder how many of us sitting here this morning woke up with the realization that my birthright is that the nations will be blessed because of me. My birthright and inheritance that God has predestined before the beginning of time that I got born into, not necessarily the day I got born from my mother, but the day I got born again, the day I received Him, the day I became a new believer, or believer, a new creation in Christ, I entered into a birthright. Part of that birthright, the right of my birth, is that the nations will be blessed because of me. When we were a kid, we used to have this saying when somebody was a little bit arrogant and not too pleasant to be around. We said, he or she thinks they're God's gift to mankind. You know, as you sit here today as a child of God, you are God's gift to mankind. It doesn't mean we must not get arrogant and big-headed about it. But it does mean that there where the enemy has come to steal our confidence and come to steal our freedom in this area, we need as a church and as Christians, as believers, to begin to get up and get bold about the fact that what does God destined for us? This doesn't only relate to us as a family here, but obviously it relates to the church of Jesus Christ as a whole, which includes us. And those who prayed with us and fasted with us last week, this is one of the areas in which God just came in. He just wanted to highlight something. He wanted to say to us that you have an inheritance in you. That we, as a church family, have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. But for so long, we walk around begging and pleading with God instead of just stepping out and knowing in boldness that God has given us an inheritance. You know, my kids can come into my house and they can run around and they can climb on the couches and climb up, and obviously not to its dangers, but they can enjoy it. They don't have to sit in a corner and, please, Dad, can we put on that DVD? Later on, when they're older, they can do it themselves. Now it's just point at the TV. Moses. I want to watch Prince of Egypt. You put Moses, the Prince of Egypt, up and she'll watch it. She doesn't have to beg or ask. It's in her inheritance. It's her right to sit on the couch and watch a movie in our house because it's her house. The same way, it's our inheritance as believers. God says, because of your existence, all the nations of the earth should be blessed. That's a powerful promise. That's a huge promise. And that's something which God, I believe, wants to come and bring back into our realization, into our prayer life. Say, God, I don't understand how or what, but somehow you want the nations of the earth to be blessed because of me. I'm not just meant to go through this life as another person who has my little family and has my little car and has my little house and then dies and has a nice inscription on my tombstone. My family is going to be blessed because of me, but the nations are going to be blessed because of me. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It's interesting also that Scripture says in Galatians that we are children, we are sons of God. And it says when we were like a child, thought as a child, acted like a child, but now I'm a man. When I was a child, I did childish things. And just as an aside, God's never called any of us to be childish. He's called us to be childlike. Big difference. Childish talks about immaturity and foolishness. Childlike talks about innocence and purity. God wants us to be innocent and pure as we pursue Him. He says we must become like little children. We must be childlike in our hearts. We must have joy and we must celebrate the little things like little kids do. But we mustn't be childish. We mustn't be foolish. We must understand there are certain things which are holy to God, our birthright being one of them, and approach them and esteem them as holy because that's how He approaches and that's how He esteems them. It speaks about adoption throughout Galatians. He says in Galatians 4 verse 6, he says, because you are sons, children of God, John 1 gives us the promise that if we've received Him, we are children of God. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, how beautiful is this, then an heir of God through Christ. The same thing we see in Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. As children of God, we're going to suffer and we've been called to suffering. Scripture says this is the will of God for you at one place, that we may suffer for His name and for His glory. And that's something which we should embrace and just endure,
press through as a blessing from God, sufferings for His name. But together with that is this incredible promise that not only are we inheritors by birth of the promise of Abraham, but we're co-heirs with Christ. Exactly everything which Jesus Himself will receive from the Father, He says you and I will receive as well. If you will create the analogy a little bit of God the Father's will, everywhere in the world where He speaks about everything that He's handing over to Jesus, your name and my name is written next to His. Because you are co-heirs with Christ. You are inheritors of that which Christ is meant to inherit. And one of the things that I believe, I just sense God just wanting us to speak about this just briefly this evening. Trust God to break a little bit of the shame and the intimidation which comes upon us. So crazy to me how often as Christians when we step out, intimidation comes and puts us right back where we started. And God wants us to know that He has not given us a spirit of timidity, of intimidation, it says. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But so often as we begin to step out for Christ, a little bit of intimidation comes and we allow the intimidation to steal that which God is doing. And God wants us to step out a little bit in boldness and to say, wait a second. I am a child of the Most High God. I have a birthright. I don't despise my birthright. As a matter of fact, I'm embracing my birthright. And maybe I'm not going to become king tomorrow, but there's a promise that I'm going to hold on to. Maybe I'm not going to inherit everything in the natural right now, but there's a promise. Scripture speaks about our greatest inheritance being an eternal inheritance. Not something of this earth, but an inheritance that's a heavenly inheritance. And something that I just sense God just wants us to just realign ourselves with again in terms of His inheritance, of which you and I are co-heirs, we find in Psalm chapter 2. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. This is to Jesus now. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me. I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. If we understand what we just read here in Romans chapter 8, that promise isn't only to Jesus, it's to you and to me as co-heirs. Mere erfgename. That if that is Jesus' inheritance, it's your inheritance and it's my inheritance. That throughout the world, there's a whole bunch of brokenness and destruction going on, and God's saying to you and me, I want you to inherit. Obviously, the keys to inheritance and wish we could spend time just unpacking this inheritance thing in detail because it's so powerful. Scripture says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. God wants us to be inheriting the earth as His children. He wants us to walk into lands and situations and times and moments and understand, God, this is my inheritance. And it's not necessarily my inheritance in the sense that I'm going to take this building and build my house there. But what's going on in these people's lives, it's my inheritance, God, to bring about change among the nations. It's my inheritance, Lord, that in me, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And when we begin to understand that, then the passages before that begin to make sense. Where God says, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. But Abraham, I want you and your descendants to understand, it's not about the blessing I'm giving you and the multiplication I'm giving you. It's the blessing so that the nations can be blessed. But I want to open the floodgates of heaven over your life as an inheritor of the child, of the blessings of God, as an inheritor of the nations. Just step out and say, God, this nation is going to be blessed because I'm here. This nation is going to be different. This nation is going to be better. This company, this family, God, is going to be a blessing upon this family because I'm here. And I want to encourage us as Christians, I so love what we did with Annabelle now. Speak a blessing over her life. But God wants us to come back to an understanding that you and I have been called to bless. That right in our DNA, in our birthright, is you and I have the right to bless. And the three stages of blessing. There's blessing which is invoked. In other words, when we bring Annabelle and we speak a blessing over her, we say, you will be a child of the Most High God. You will hear His voice. You will experience His Spirit. It will be well with you. Then there's a withholding of the blessing. The blessing where we just, it's in my power to give the blessing, but I don't give it. One of the things that in our Western society is so lacking is the blessing that a father can give to his son and to his daughter, a blessing of affirmation in their identity. And it's not that the father doesn't give it. It's just in his ignorance he doesn't give it. It's not that he doesn't want to give it. He just doesn't. I wonder how many of us sitting here can point back to a time and a moment where your dad set you down and he spoke a blessing over you. Something that's just gone from our culture. Something which is so beautiful and God is busy restoring and bringing back to godly parents. To bring their children in, put them down and to invoke a blessing. But the absence of that is to withhold a blessing. It's in their power to do it, but they withhold it. It's part of what the enemy has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. There's in the giving the blessing. There's the withholding the blessing, and then there's cursing. Cursing is not just withholding the blessing. Cursing is speaking about the inability to prosper. To bless something or to bless somebody is to empower it to prosper. To curse it is to empower it to fail. Last night we had a beautiful ceremony at Yaku's house with his family. His dad just came and his dad just spoke a blessing over him, a blessing of his birthright. Yaku will prosper. As we were sitting there, I realized how many times, and we see it on the TV all around, we don't see parents blessing their children. We see parents cursing each other. You are so stupid. You are so dumb. Beep, beep, beep. A whole bunch of curse words. But the enemy has come to kill and to destroy the blessing of a parent towards a child. But not only in our family relationships, obviously it starts there. God wants us to be committed to blessing. God, my brother, my sister, I'm not going to curse them. I'm not going to withhold blessing, God. I'm going to give the blessing that is in my power to do so. I'm going to speak and release blessing over people. I'm going to speak and release blessing over nations. Starts in prayer. And this is a place where we begin to step out and say, God, I don't know how, but I'm going to bless this nation. I'm going to empower this nation to prosper. This nation is going to prosper because somehow my finger's been involved in that nation. Psalm 2 verse 8 there it says, ask of me, ask of the Father. I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. That's a promise that God holds before every one of us this afternoon. And it's a promise which is so hard for us to fathom because it's so big. It's much easier for us to despise it. It's much easier for us to think it's a small thing and to give it away. I sense God just stirring something up in our hearts again, wanting to ask us a question as a church and as individuals. Are we going to despise our birthright as Esau did? Are we going to sell it for a morsel of bread? I wonder how many people in Christian churches today, and sadly probably with us as well, we sell our birthright for a morsel of food. Something which is nice and temporal, looks good in this moment. We give up the promise of God for that little thing. We say, God, I'm really hungry. God, I really need this. I really need that, whatever the situation may be. And the other party says, give me your birthright. Give up your dream. Give up your hope. Give up your desire. And not only your desire, but your inheritance to bring about change in the nations. Sacrifice that and I'll give you this thing, this little Big Mac that you need right now. And I'm going to ask the ushers to pass the elements of the communion out. I want us to take a bit of time and pray and break bread around this. Some of you, as you sit here, God's going to show you moments where you despised your birthright, whether from your natural family or from your spiritual father, Father in heaven. And I sense God saying that Esau despised his birthright and he couldn't get the blessing when he wanted, even though he sought it with tears. And I just sense God saying that today, he wants to bring redemption and restoration. Some of us, we need to take up that birthright again. Some of us, we've been running away from it. Some of us never even thought about the fact that God has a birthright for me. He wants us to embrace it and view it as precious and holy. Say, God, I don't know how you're going to bless the nations. How are the nations going to be blessed because I'm here? God's wanting to say, leave that to me. You just be you. That in you and I, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. As we break bread together now, for God wants to break from us the spirit of inhibition and intimidation that comes upon our birthright. That we always think we must stand back and defer to others. God's saying, no, I want you to be a little bit more bold in your purpose. Don't let the enemy come and lie to you. Yes, there are times when we must be meek and humble and we must step back. But there are many more times when we must step in and we must press in to pursue the kingdom of God. When a little bit of conflict and a little bit of difficulty arises, not just to avoid the conflict, but to press through the conflict. Say, God, your kingdom must come. These nations must be inherited. This brokenness must be restored. These people must be blessed because I'm here, God. God wants us to just have an affirmation and identity from Him to know that He has called us. Sensing the Holy Spirit say, so many of us sitting here today, a lie often comes in our head to say, who are you to think you can make a difference? Who are you to think you can bring about change? God wants us to begin to answer that voice and to say, I am a child of the Lord Most High. Not born of the will of man, but of God. That's who I am. Who are you? And watch that voice get quiet. I'm a son of the King with a birthright to bring about change in the nation. I'm a son of the King to walk as a co-heir of Christ with the privilege to walk in my inheritance. And my inheritance isn't a little corner, little spot away from everything else, the tiniest, smallest little thing where nothing can grow in a figurative sense. My inheritance is the nations. The ends of the earth is my possession. My inheritance is that the whole earth will be blessed because of me. Not because I am so great or because I am so special, but because there's an anointing of the living God upon my life. If you've received the elements, if you can stand with me, please. If you haven't received yet, stay sitting so we can see who we still need to get around to. As we say so often, this bread and this cup is not magic. It doesn't have the supernatural power in itself to change anything. But it represents everything that can bring about change. The broken body of Jesus Christ, His blood shed for us. Paul writes, quotes Jesus, and he says, in the same manner, after supper, Christ took the bread, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He took the cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And our inheritance among the nations, it's not our glory, it's not our fame. It's not our name up in lights. It's not people falling at our feet and throwing money to us. Our inheritance is the God of glory, glorified through the nation. Our inheritance is his name lifted high. Our inheritance is broken lives healed and restored. Families coming to know Christ. People understanding who they are in Jesus, being baptized and having their identity in Jesus fulfilled. Lives transformed by the power of the goodness of the God we serve. Raising up of a generation who knows him and follows him with all their heart. And so, Father, this afternoon, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, there's no way this side of eternity we will truly understand what happened there. We choose to receive it. We choose to acknowledge that, Jesus, when you died, it was sufficient. Your body broken was enough. Your blood shed was powerful to wash away all of us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This evening, God, it's our prayer that you would restore to us, God, not only our inheritance, but the knowledge of our inheritance, God. The boldness, the freedom we have in Christ to stand up and to say, I am a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and I have an inheritance in him. I have a heavenly inheritance, but there's an earthly inheritance as well. And as a church this afternoon, God, we choose to walk in that inheritance. We choose to embrace that inheritance. We choose to say yes, not to despise it, not to look away from it, but to embrace the inheritance as well as the responsibility that comes with it. Let's eat together. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus which speaks today better things than that of Abel. That your blood, Lord, is where we find our strength and our hope, Lord. That your blood was shed for us. That the blood of Christ makes it all possible, God. And we pray your blood over us, over our dreams and over our hopes, God. We thank you that your blood brings protection, Lord. Your blood, God, gives clarity and brings direction. Your blood, which was shed for the remission of sins. Lord, we receive that this afternoon in Jesus. It's strength. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to ask, maybe you here this afternoon, no one moving around, everyone standing still, just a band coming up. If you're here and you say, Philip, wow, it's really great having this incredible inheritance. But you prefaced it. You started with a little thing that said, to as many as received him. And I don't know if I've received him. I've never had the experience where I was born again. My life started again as if new. I entered into a new inheritance, not only the inheritance of this earth, but the inheritance of my Father in heaven. A whole new life starts. That's you. I would so love to pray with you for you to enter into this inheritance. Part of our inheritance is that we get to have a relationship with Jesus. We get to know him, talk to him, experience him. It would be my incredible privilege to pray with you for that. So I'm going to ask us all to close our eyes, to bow our heads. And if that's you and tonight you want to receive Jesus, you want to take a step into this inheritance, Yes, there's some stuff in your life that's going to have to change, but God will sort that out. Don't say, let me sort out this and this and this first. That's missing the point. As we come to Him, He sorts it out. And He guides us and He leads us. I'm going to ask, if that's you, don't you want to raise your hand? I would love to pray with you if there's anyone like that here tonight. I would love for you to meet Jesus, to receive His inheritance. Nothing to be ashamed of. Just raise your hand high. I'd love to pray with you. Doesn't matter if you're 6 or 60 years old. It's never too late to receive the gift of a new birth in Jesus. A new life, an eternal inheritance. I'm going to ask those of you, raise your hands. As we close now, come forward and we're going to pray with you. And then also maybe you are here tonight and God's spoken to you specifically about something. Maybe just your own personal inheritance or your spiritual inheritance. You've been ashamed of it. God wants to break that shame off. God wants you to embrace the inheritance and to boldly walk in it. Prince Harry or Prince William don't have to apologize for being princes. Yes, they get preferential treatment. They don't apologize for it. They don't try and hide from it. It's theirs because it's been given to them. Sons and daughters of the Most High, it gets given to us. The Bible calls it favor. The blessing of the Lord. If you need prayer, as we sing this last song in closing, you're welcome to come forward. We're going to pray with you. Maybe you hear you've got a prayer request that's totally different to anything I've said. You just need somebody to pray with you. Maybe you've got sickness in your body. We're going to pray with you tonight. Believe the God we serve is able to heal.
Dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.